This is Buccaneers Total Access with Josh Freeman.
Dropping is Freeman. Throws the long ball downfield toward Mike Williams. He makes the catch. Touchdown, Tampa Bay.
On 620 WDAE, home of the Buccaneers.
Perfect throw, Freeman. And a great route by Michael Williams.
Now Buccaneers quarterback Josh Freeman and your host, Steve Dooming.
Siri Bob, welcome to the Buccaneer Radio Network. Each and every Thursday, the quarterback for your Tampa Bay Buccaneers jumps aboard with us, taking your phone calls and going back and forth, getting what's going on with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he joins us right now. Good afternoon, Mr. Freeman. How are you?
I'm doing great, Steve. How are you?
You must be a busy man sitting over there. I have to be at One Buck this afternoon. That's all right. That's all right.
Yeah, no, It's been a good week.
It's a big game coming up this week, and we had a big game last week, but let's look forward to it. We had a caller right before your show that reminded you're going to wear the creamsicles, first of all. How do you like wearing the orange?
Oh, I love it.
Do you really?
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
I fell in love with the creamsicle jerseys far before I was a Buccaneer.
Oh, you did? Oh,
yeah.
So we were set apart in the Freeman mind way before that then, right?
Indeed.
Well, you get to wear them. Now, do you know why maybe that this weekend is significant against the Saints? To think creamsicle and the significance of playing the Saints. If you get it, I will give you a badge of honor. I don't expect you to get the right answer, but just I had to ask the question.
You know.
Maybe your cohort sitting next to you knows the answer to this.
It was the Bucs' first ever win.
Yeah, I heard the whispering.
Oh, man. They're a little noisy. We almost got it, guys.
You almost got it.
Almost.
It was the first franchise win was against Archie Manning and the New Orleans Saints in the Superdome after losing 26 straight games.
Huh.
Yep.
It's crazy.
It is. So that's probably why they picked the throwback weekend to be the Saints. And it's the significance is it's the Buccaneer franchise's first ever win. And Jeff Ryan must have been listening to the show.
Indeed. He was. He's right here. He's right here. He's just a little more quiet. He could have got it done.
Well, if you pass the notes. There you go. You pass the note. But anyway, great game by you this past weekend. Why? What was it? Did the bye week install the shotgun offense for you? Or is it just for specifically for this game, or are we going to see more of that?
Can't really say.
Okay.
You know, Coach Sullivan put together game plans week by week, trying to maximize our potential in offense. You know, you talk about guys like Mike and Vincent and their ability to make plays, and those guys are hot right now.
Whoa.
You know, anytime you put a ball in their area, anytime you have them underneath route, you know, they find a way to get open, find a way to catch the ball, and find a way to make the most of it.
I loved it, but I loved you being in the shotgun too for most of the day. It was a good thing, but you know, I love it when you let your receivers make plays. And you know, sometimes they get that one man-on-man coverage, so you see him most of the time. But, you know, when you see Vincent Jackson go up and get footballs, and Mike Williams with his body control has done it for the couple of years he's already been here, you don't want to ever pull a string on a guy when he's one-on-one. You know they're going to go up, and if they don't make the play, the other guy's not making the play. Is that your thought process on that?
Yeah, to an extent. You know, it's all about the release, but – if they get a decent release and it's a one-on-one matchup, you know, there's no defense for a high ball with guys with those body controls, you know, and it's my job to see where the safety is and if the safety's able to make a play on it or not, but it really comes down to can Mike, can Vincent, can Tyquan make a one-on-one play.
Yeah, you had three of them all going for you this past weekend, and when you saw the single safety high, that was your go get him right on Mike Williams's first one.
Yep. No, it was actually man to man.
Was it? Well, but you had one guy back there, right?
Oh yeah. Single high safeties, but it's for sure. But there's cover three, cover one. You like cover one, cover three. usually if you're going to hit a go, it's going to be a little deeper. Your guy's going to have to run down his cushion. Mm-hmm. But, you know, after that play, when they got in cover three, their corners were not going to let anybody over the top.
Yeah, well, you know, with the way your receivers are going, that might be you might be seeing a lot more cover twos, you know. And then you're throwing into windows again. But I think Josh, you answered a lot of questions. The fans had a lot of questions about not only your abilities to run the offense, but to check at the line of scrimmage. Get out of the pocket, get off your launch point, and go and roll out. You answered every single question, don't you think, in that game on Sunday? For all the fans that were asking and wondering, you got a little bit of everything on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I guess so.
You got the Josh Freeman show, in my mind.
Oh, man. Yeah, no. I mean, the game provided me with opportunities to do all those things. You know, last week my preparation was the same, you know, tried to out-prepare myself from the week before, like we try to do every week. And then, just went out and played, you know, just went out and tried the best to do my job, you know, didn't do anything different.
And, you had a little bit of a bad start. You know, that thought process is, hey, it's one play at a time, and you don't let it get you down, right?
Yeah, I mean, a game was never won or lost in one play, you know, and the way that I feel like our team is playing – and you know you can't help but go out and want to put together the best performance you possibly can, because you know Rondé and the defense are going to be doing it on their side, and you know that the offensive line is going to put up a great game, and also you got all these playmakers around you that if you can get the ball in their hands, you know they're going to do something special with it.
Well, and you got it into everybody's hands, and everybody contributed. I mean, we know what Vincent did, we know what Mike did. Tequan made a circus catch, made top five catches of the week on the NFL Network. Doug Martin turned a nice pass into a nice long gain. He got out on the edges a little bit more and had like 80 yards of rushing. Garrett got involved, got a touchdown rushing to close out the game. You really got a good mix of offensive weapons, including your career high day as well from a yardage standpoint.
Yeah, no, it was like you said, it was an overall team effort, and I can tell you that the week leading up to that game, you know, was very upbeat, mm-hmm. up tempo.
You said that last week. You did say that. Yep.
I mean, everybody was on it in practice. You know, it was. I mean, the effort given just. I mean, from Monday, when you talk about Wednesday practice, Friday practice. You know, those. I felt like the guys. And, I mean, they came out and really responded, you know, coming off a bye, mm-hmm. You expect guys to be maybe a little tired, like they're coming back but guys hit the ground running, you know, right when they came back. It was, it was pretty awesome. You know, it really was.
Well, and it showed on the field, and it was a close game in the beginning. What made the difference in the second half, Josh? You had 7-3 at halftime. There was movement by both teams up and down the field, and then defenses took over and took some scores away. But you came out and exploded in the second half. Were the plays just there as far as the second half was concerned?
You know, it was in the first half we felt like we were right on the cusp. Mm-hmm. You know, like we had a number of times where a drive would stall or whatever would happen. The interception early on, things that weren't allowing us to get the ball in the end zone. And then, I mean, we went into the locker room at halftime. Coach Sullivan pulled up some pictures. We went through some adjustments. The coaches came in and kind of spread the plan and informed everybody on what the adjustments were going to be for the second half. And, then we came out and guys understood what we were trying to do from an adjustment standpoint, and mm-hmm. we got it done.
You executed.
that's bottom line. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, you guys are prepared every week. It's just the execution, and the other guy gets paid too. But it's comes down to execution and making the plays hit. Now you checked off at a line of scrimmage where there was that was a lot of questions last week about, well, is he allowed to check out a bad play and get into a good play? Coach Schiano after the game praised your abilities and what you did in checking into some really good run plays that popped for you. You know, can you talk us through the process of that, what you saw and what made you check into those plays?
No, I mean, some plays are bad looks to run into. You know, they we knew they were going to bring certain blitzes, and we knew that some of our passes, a lot of our runs weren't good into those plays, and you know, you got to get out of them. You know, and it's not really something that you're going to tag another play onto for an alert, but just understanding which plays are bad versus certain looks, certain pressures, and just what play is good, what play you can get to that can be a positive play. So no, it was good. You know, we've done that a number of times this year, mm-hmm. But it was cool. You know, we had a few checks that we didn't quite get to, but you know, it was.
I think when you win, it gets exaggerated more. You know, it just is, everybody's saying, wow, that was really nice. You know, when you lose, you don't see that as much, right? Or the people are asking, well, why didn't he do it? When you did the same exact thing, it just didn't turn out.
True. And I mean, it's pretty cool, because I mean, throughout the week, you game plan, you watch a bunch of film, the coaches put you in great situations for when you have a negative look. You can get into a play, and there were a few looks that we were hoping we would get and have a chance to really exploit them down the field, but didn't have the opportunity, didn't really see those pressures. But you know, it was a very good team win, you know, and it's something that we definitely as a team we're going to build on and continue to prepare, you know, day in and day out, and carry it on into the New Orleans season.
Well, when you came, you said last week when you came in here, and you just said it again when you said that they really upbeat week of practice. Are you seeing the same thing with the Saints? It's a divisional game. I think there's no motivation needed. That's motivation enough. You guys are undefeated in the division, so there's still lots to play for anyway. Not that you wouldn't play better. I mean, but these are divisional games, are really two games in one, because you lose one game, you lose two games in the standings. So, are they hitting the ground running again this week? Are you satisfied with the week of practice so far?
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously, like you said, it's a divisional opponent. I mean, it's the Saints. They're a very, very good team. I mean, their record may not portray it right now, but some of the stuff these guys are doing, you know, they're a very talented football team. You know, obviously led by their offense, Drew Brees. And then, you know, you look at their defense, and, I mean, their defense is, I mean, they're not too shabby themselves, you know, but it's going to be fun, you know. And this week of practice has been, it's been good, because I mean, guys have been focused, you know, just focused in on your task and knowing your assignment. And each week, you know, they kind of bring up different things from the playbook, and you might get to see a play you haven't seen since maybe preseason or, things like that. And guys really have to be on their game, because, with each defense, with each game plan, there are subtle differences, and it's about everybody getting on the same page, communicating the calls, and now I'm definitely happy with the way that's gone so far this week.
Good stuff. All right, he is the quarterback of your Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Josh Freeman. Every week he joins us from 6 until 7. Your turn coming up next. Jump on the phone lines, 990 in Hillsborough, Pinellas 461. They both end in 4620. The toll-free number, 1-800-596-BUCKS, B-U-C-S. We'll be right back with more of your Josh Freeman Show here on the Buccaneer Radio Network. That was the first play of the day. There will be more to follow in Sunday's win against the Kansas City Chiefs. But great throw, great catch, great body control, outracing the safety to the end zone, and touchdown Tampa Bay was a really, really nice play, Josh. Excellent.
Yeah,
you don't get to hear the radio call that often, do you?
No, man. You love hearing Gene.
Yeah.
Anytime you get, you know. But, no, I think Mike made that play, you know, point blank. You know, Mike, I was joking with him because I didn't realize he was that fast, but guess he is.
The safety had the angle on him too, and he beat him to the end zone. I was at a bird's eye view of that one, and it was a really nice play all the way around. But yeah, his body control, he goes up and makes plays. And as Coach Schiano said, he's used to watching Mike Williams when he was at Syracuse make plays against Rutgers, so he knows he can go out and make plays. and big plays as we did. I love the weapons you have. I mean, you have three good receivers now with Underwood in the slot, but when two guys can go up and get balls that a lot of receivers in this league can't, and do you know it's just got to take a load of pressure off of your mind, right?
Yeah, no, you know, you talk about having guys that can run deep routes, you know, guys that when it is a one-on-one play, because I mean, talk about plays throughout the course of an NFL game, and I mean, having guys that can make the big plays, because I mean, those plays erase a number of other plays, and you talk about how many run plays it would take, just how many short pass plays to get a 62-yarder, you know, and it's when you got guys like Mike, Vincent, you know, Tyquan this past weekend, and a guy that honestly I think is going to come on huge for us, and Aurelius Ben, you know, he's a guy that, I mean, they've been mixing him in a little bit, but I'd look for a down the road some big things out of that kid. I'm telling you, this guy is he's tearing it up. You know, he's hungry, but no, it's having those four guys. You know, really, and I mean, they're all fast, they're all strong, they all run good routes, they all catch the ball extremely well, and you know, it makes it so you can mix up like the alignments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so a team that's used to just playing teams where they'd leave their X on one side, and so Vincent would be singled up all the time.
Right.
They can't do that against us, you know, because you could flip it and put Mike in there. You could put Aurelius out there. You could put Tyquan out there. You know, so just the versatility and the overall talent I think we have in the receiver room is going to allow our offense to really flourish.
Well, this is the age-old question, and we'll get it straight from your mind here, and then we're going to turn things over to the phone lines. Did the run set up the pass, or did the passing this past weekend allow you to run the ball and set up the run more with play action? Which one was the determining factor in your mind that opened up the other end of it? Because you were definitely two-dimensional the entire day.
I don't know. You know, I never really thought of it that way. You know, I think that with our game plan, with I guess our self-scout, the scouting reports, the formations we're in, the different formations that are coupled with other formations that are coupled with plays run previous games, previous weeks, I think that it's really hard to get a beat on what we're going to do, because I think that when we're firing on all cylinders, we can do both equally well.
Yeah, I you could see that happening. And when you were in here the other last week, when I was going through the statistics of the secondary with Kansas City, I could see it in your eyes that you knew in the game plan there was going to be some opportunities. I could see it, right? That's why I knew. Why I like you having in studio. I can look in your eyes, and I know that there's something going to happen. And I was looking for deep balls myself, because you knew it, didn't you?
No, they're fun. You know, we knew we were going to have some matchups. Just leave it at that.
Yeah, okay, there you go. That's fair enough. That's fair enough. All right, let's go to Eddie, who is first up on the Josh Freeman Show. Good afternoon, Eddie. Eddie?
Hey, Josh, how you doing? Sorry about that. Hey, I just really have a two-part question. My first part is I'm a big golfer, and I know when I have a 9-iron in my hand that I'm very comfortable. And I was just curious, you know, what throw in your mind – when you know you're going to make that throw, can you do in the back, you know, basically in your sleep? And then the second part of my question is, you said something earlier about you were a fan of the orange colors before you were a Buck fan. How did that come about? Were you a Buck fan growing up, or, you know, just how about, and I'll listen to you guys off the air. Thank you.
Thanks, Eddie.
Yeah, thanks, Eddie. You know, as far as the routes go, I feel comfortable. Like, I can just stroke it all day on a lot of them, you know, and it's obviously different when you got rush and all sorts of stuff. But my favorite route would have to be, it's called Bang 8, a glance post. They call it a lot of different things, but it's a skinny post by the receiver. And it's a timing route, and it's just, it's a route where you can just drop back, look off the safety, and then just throw a rocket. and it the receiver catches it. To him, it almost looks exactly like he'd be catching a slant, except it's 25 yards downfield.
Excellent. Let's go to Ocala and talk to Tim, who is up next on the Josh Freeman Show. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, Josh, and quick question. With the game that you guys had against the Chiefs and drawing a bunch of double coverages now on these receivers, how can you get Dallas Clark more involved, taking that he's such a big threat to the passing game?
You know, I'm not 100% sure what coverages we're going to see down the road, you know, because you know, a lot of teams, they run what they run. So, I mean, I wouldn't say that we're definitely going to just see double coverage, but I think that as far as Dallas within this offense, I mean, to be honest, like there are weeks where Mike might not have a whole bunch of opportunities. But I definitely I know this for a fact that that Dallas Clark is he's got a big part in our offense. It's just the coverage hasn't really been favoring him getting the ball, and it's you know, and it's something that you talk about different guys, especially guys with I mean, histories, reputations, credentials like Dallas has, not getting the amount of balls they're used to getting, you know. And you talk about different guys throughout history, and they might get frustrated. They might come out and make it a big team deal. But, you know, Dallas is one of the, I mean, hardest working, like humblest guys. And, you know, it's he understands how it works. And you know, I could definitely see him in the very near future being involved in our offense a lot more from the standpoint of like you said, teams having to play different coverages to eliminate some of those Mike Williams and Vincent Jackson matchups. So, you know, it's you can't really predict exactly what's going to happen and who's going to get the ball. Otherwise, there'd be no reason to play the game. Mm. But I think that...
And you wouldn't have to study so hard, right?
A lot more free time.
No. Yeah, it's but no, it's, you're right. You're exactly right.
But it's I mean, you never know what the game is going to bring, you know. You really don't. And I mean, I want down to see Dallas Clark catching the ball, hurdling people. I mean, I know everybody does. But you know what, I want to see more than anything as a W in the win column, you know, about another check mark. I want to all we're about on this team is winning the game, you know. And I think with winning come the personal accolades, come the opportunities for guys to put up big numbers. But, you know, our singular focus is just winning football games.
Mm-hmm. Winning each season every week, right?
Exactly.
You got it broken down into seasons of 16. And it's pick your poison now. I mean, you put enough on film out there. It's like Mike had a lot of coverage rolled to him last year, and you know, without the off season to get him acclimated, the coaching wasn't there because of the lockout and everything else. Mike saw double coverage for the first time, really, because he was a rookie. He's caught 11 touchdown passes. He became known. Defenses had all that lockout time to get prepared for Mike Williams. And, it, you know, it kind of set him back. He didn't get the touchdown passes. He had almost the same amount of catches, but not the touchdowns. This time he's got out there, and it's hard to roll. Pick your poison. You're going to roll it to Vincent. You're going to roll it to Mike Williams. Somebody's going to have a big day in this offense, don't you think?
No, no question. And the way this offense is designed, I mean, there are going to be answers. You know, there are going to be opportunities for everybody to get the ball, you know. I mean, Doug's had some big-time receiving plays. You know, Eric Lorig has, I think, more catches than he's ever had. So, I mean, it's you can never predict what you're going to see. And like you said, Mike's rookie year versus his second year. You know, it's you can't predict it. You know, you can have the forecast, but you plan for certain things, but you never know how it's gonna turn out on Sunday. But yeah, real quick, we had a previous caller that asked about the Buccaneers and the Buccaneer jerseys.
Oh, yeah.
Back before I was even a Buccaneer, and actually, my best friend's dad used to play for the Packers. And so we would always watch Packers games, and my two teams were the Packers, and obviously my team was the Chiefs growing up in Kansas City, but I just remember Bucko Bruce on the side of the helmet. And like, seriously, we used to draw football helmets. We used to collect like those little mini football helmets that mm-hmm. you get at the grocery store, and I had a Buccaneers one, an old school one. I loved it.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
The creamsicle,
baby. The creamsicle, baby. And you get to wear that number 5 creamsicle on Sunday. And you got more questions for Josh? We got time for you. A full half hour right up until the top of the hour. Josh Freeman here each and every week with us from 6 to 7 on your Buccaneer Radio Network. 990 in Hillsboro, Pinellas 461. They both end in 4620. The toll-free line, 1-800-596-BUCKS, B-U-C-S, BUCKS, here on your Buccaneer Radio Network.
Around the globe, first down 10, Bucks at the 19. Freeman out of the shotgun, looking in zone, looking in. It's caught! Touchdown, Tampa Bay! Vincent Jackson! Great throw by Josh Freeman!
Yes, it was. Right to the back of the end zone went Vincent Jackson, and went right to the throw from Josh Freeman to Vincent Jackson for the first of two touchdowns for Vincent. Made his fantasy people happy, made your fantasy people happy, Josh. And, you know, it comes down to fantasy at the end. At the end of the day, have you had anybody come up to you and like either praise you or curse you out? You messed up my fantasy team.
You know, I'd say more so before the season. Like, hey man, don't let me down. I picked you up on my fantasy team, and you know, actually, one of my good friends was just telling me, he's like, man, I should have drafted you on my fantasy team, and I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, man, some other guy got you this week. And I forget who he had as his quarterback, but.
You blew most of the people away this past week, I'm telling you. You know, it was a good week for fantasy players of Josh Freeman. Trust me on that one. It's good to get you going in the game like that. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Did A-Rod bat? He struck out. He flew out. They finally put him in as a pinch hitter, and he made contact. You following the baseball at all, Josh? You don't have time.
To be honest, I mean, you see an update in the paper every now and then, but yeah. I am so deeply entrenched in New Orleans stuff right now.
Good. That's the answer you're supposed to give. I know, but in baseball playoffs, I thought you might glance at him a little bit in the training room or something. But anyway, let's go back to the phone lines. Chris and Brandon, you're up with Josh Freeman. Go ahead.
Steve. Hey, Josh. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, what's up?
Okay. Hey, man. I'm a huge fan of you. Like, you know, I've been watching Bucks like the last 10 years. You know, I just came here from India. You know, I'm still liking the Bucks. You know, the way they're playing. The only question I got is like, you know, about the tight ends, like, you know, like Dallas Clark, and you know, all the other tight ends you got right now. Because I was looking at your plays, like, you know, from last year and the year before. Because you know, you used to throw a lot of passes to Clelin Winslow, because you know he's the fastest player they got. But what about Dallas Clark and then other players? Are they like? Is he healthy or is he not?
Well, he's already answered the Dallas Clark question. Is there anything else you need specifically asked?
Specifically, and also, like, yeah, I just want to, you know, what's your comfort zone with this? Offensive coordinator, like, you know, with the offensive coordinator who just came from New York Giants, you know, but like, what do you feel about the old coordinators and the new one right now?
You're talking about Kellen Winslow last year. I mean, completely different offense. But then you talk about comfort level this year with Coach Sullivan and with Dallas. You know, I love both those guys. You know, it's hard to imagine this season without either of those guys. You know, and like Sully, it's unbelievable. I mean, the guy, just. The way that he presents the offensive game plans and the way he teaches the offense, and he does an excellent job of helping the players and the quarterbacks in particular understand what the play is trying to accomplish. And you know, I think that's something that's often missed. You know, when you're talking about installing plays, it's that, you know, the play's going in for a reason, and you're not just running a play for the sake of running a play. You're running a play because of a certain coverage, of a certain look, because you're trying to get the ball in a certain person's hands in a certain situation. And, Coach Sullivan's, it's awesome. Feel great about the system. And then I feel great about number 44. You know, it's great knowing you got a guy that can make all kinds of plays. And, I think Dallas had a hangnail yesterday. So he's healthy.
Well, I know you can't comment on injuries, but Vincent was on the injury report this week, but I'm sure, hopefully that's nothing major, but I know you can't comment on that. But for the people that are out there, he was placed on the injury report with a strained calf. Hopefully there's not a lot of problems there, but anyway, he showed up on it. Let's go to Adam, who is up next. Good afternoon, Adam. You're on with Josh Freeman.
Hey, what's going on, Steve? What's going on, Josh?
Hey, bud.
What's up?
Hey, Josh. People have been critical of you in a couple different areas. One, they say that you don't get through your progressions enough and that you tend to stare down your receivers. I want to know what you say to that. And secondarily, people have also said that you used to run a lot and, you know, you've kind of held back from doing that. I'm kind of wondering why. You know, last week you had a run, but before that you hadn't really been breaking the pocket and you know, getting yards with your feet. I just want to hear, you know, what directly from you, what you say to that kind of criticism.
Who are those people? But
we answered that last week. But go ahead.
It's funny because everybody. When you lose a couple games, everybody becomes a critic, which is, I mean, rightfully so. You know, if I were a supporter, a fanatic, diehard Bucks fan, you know, I would want to know what's happening. Why isn't everything going great? You know, and it's the thing is with the running the ball. I mean, quarterbacks. And you look at it year in and year out, successful quarterbacks, I mean, they don't run the ball. You know, when you have an opportunity to run the ball, and that's what I've been saying. When I have an opportunity, when I have a lane, I run the ball. I mean, in the game, I had a run, I don't know how many yards, but when I have an opportunity, when I have a lane, I'm going to run the ball. And it's not something that you can force. You know, it really isn't. If you start looking at the rush, trying to find lanes to run the ball, then you're not going to be looking downfield. And as far as staring down receivers, I'm not really sure the last time a quarterback completed a pass to a receiver he wasn't looking at. But no, that's a,
yeah.
No, but it's right. You know, it's, I mean, last week I think I had three rushing attempts, you know, but.
Well, but you also said too, Josh, that when you got the opportunities, you would do it, and you saw man coverage this past weekend, which gives you more opportunity to open up a run lane if it's there, and you took it when it was there, and that's why I meant at the beginning of the show that you ticked off every check mark that people had questions on. You answered on Sunday. Are you allowed to get out of the pocket? Yes. Are you allowed to run with the ball? Yes, you did. You know, can you throw down the field? Yes, you did. You know, everything was answered, I thought, on Sunday. But you said it yourself. When you see man coverage, there's more opportunities to run the football if you have a shot. You know, you'll take it, right?
Yeah. I mean, no doubt. And I mean, it's tough to describe it to somebody who's never played quarterback in the NFL, but it's, you are dropping back with one purpose. That purpose is to go through your progression, get the ball out of your hands into the hands of one of your playmakers. And if you get flushed, have to step up in the pocket, or you're sitting back there and nobody's really coming open, and there's a big lane and there's room to run, yeah, you're going to run, you know. But if there's not, I mean, it's and I'm not the fastest guy in the world. I like to think I can get around a little bit.
Yeah, you can.
But I mean, I'm not going to reverse fields and outrun the pocket.
You're not going to pull an RG3 and get a 78-yard run in 2.7 seconds? You're not going to do that?
I'm not quite that fast. But no, I mean, it's and it goes back to my number one goal. The only reason why we play the game, to win the game. If I have an opportunity to run the ball and it's going to help my team win, I'm going to run the ball, you know, and it's – and you know, I down. I mean, I don't know what the future holds. You know, you could see a game where I rush for 100 yards. You know, that'd be pretty cool.
That would be cool.
But no, I have nothing against running. I'm not directed not to run. There's just far more efficient ways of moving the ball down the field.
And the linebackers hurt when they hit, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Nah.
No, I mean,
it depends on the linebacker.
Exactly. Exactly. And you sliding down. But hey, you know, quarterbacks find out real fast that are running quarterbacks, it's not a good idea. You know, I sit here every Wednesday with Derek Brooks, and he used to love the running quarterbacks. He said, you don't run us over. And if you try, you're going to pay the ultimate price. But, you know, it's like linebackers love hitting quarterbacks space.
Look at RG3.
Yes.
Versus Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was over the bye week. I was actually watching, I forget what it's called, but.
Red Zone?
So, yeah, Red Zone, yeah.
Pretty cool, isn't it?
man, I tell you, how long has that been around?
Well, if you have Bright House Cable, it's been around just for about 2 weeks. And so you got it on your cable station probably, but DirecTV's had it for a while, but. It's about 3 or 4 years old, and people, that's why they get addicted, you know, to just the Red Zone channel. You know, fantasy players, again, this is all about fantasy. This is why I was trying to tell people at the Bucks game before we take a break, the Wi-Fi, they've improved the Wi-Fi at Raymond James Stadium so good, you can keep, I was watching the Red Zone channel in the press box, you know, so you can keep up on everything. It's the ultimate for fantasy players and everything else, that you can get a Wi-Fi connection at Raymond James Stadium. By the way, Josh, we're going to answer the question when we come back. You're going to get to play in front of almost a full house this weekend. Get your thoughts on that and some more phone calls when we return to the Buccaneer Radio Network with Josh Freeman.
With a renewed commitment to the prevention and cure of cancer, we're the only NCI-designated comprehensive cancer center based in Florida, which means more research, more clinical trials, more advanced technology, and a commitment to the highest level of care. More important, it means we're your best chance for beating cancer. Moffitt Cancer Center, closer to our patients, closer to a cure. Learn more at moffitt.org.
Buccaneers Total Access with Josh Freeman now continues on 620 WDAE, home of the Bucs.
All right, welcome back to the Josh Freeman Show. Each and every Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m., he comes aboard to answer your questions and talk Buccaneer football with you, and sometimes the occasional K-State football. Big game for them this week, Mr. Freeman, huh? West Virginia?
Yeah, no, it's going to be a huge game. Huge game.
Why aren't people buying into the purple? They're saying, what, you know, who is K-State? They never get the respect they deserve sometimes.
I don't know. I think Bill Snyder likes it that way. You know, it's they can go, and I mean, they're going to continue to do what they do, you know, what makes them successful. And that's, you know, it's fundamentals, it's discipline, you know, and it's, I mean, you know, we have the family concept where, I mean, within this building, within our organization, we're a family, you know, it's very similar at Kansas State. And, you know, I think that this is going to be one of those games that could be a huge statement game. You know, you have my man Colin Klein leading the boys into battle, and
he's a big dude.
Yeah,
he's a really big dude. Kind of reminds me of you, but he runs the ball a lot more than you do. But you know, we don't want your game plan for this weekend, but you do have a plan, Josh, and I wanted to get with that before we get out of here today. Talk to us a little bit about what you do with connecting with local students through the plan. What is the plan, Josh?
Well, you know, the plan, it's a video that, it was shot. We sent it out to, you know, over 20,000 students, you know, from Hillsborough and Pinellas County. And basically it challenged students around the area to come up with their own plan, you know, a plan for the future. Whether it be to be an athlete, a doctor, you know, whatever their goals are in the future, you know, just just to write out a plan and set goals for yourself and go out and try to achieve them, you know. And it's fourth grade students from, I think, 235 schools, you know, in the counties, you know, and they've all entered their essays, you know, and it's based off of like the two page FCAT style, you know, mm-hmm. the format, and it's going to be cool because I'm not sure when those are going to come in. When they come in, they're saying pretty soon, but when we get them back, I mean, we're going to go through them and try to pick out the best ones, you know, and we'll select the 50 best student plans, you know, from each county, and then we'll invite them to the Buccaneers game on the Falcons game, actually, on the 25th, and it's going to be cool, you know. I think we're going to use Freeman's front line, get them hooked up, but it's definitely going to be awesome, and out of the students that are selected, out of the 50, you know, they're going to be entered into a drawing, and they could potentially win. I mean, they're going to win a visit from me at the end of the season, you know, to kind of celebrate. And it's going to be it's definitely a great deal. And the main thing, it's just to get kids to think consciously about being proactive, you know, with moving forward and setting a goal in their life. Because more often than not, I can't say more often than not, but way too often, kids go through life and they don't have a plan. They don't know what they want to do. And I mean, time flies, you know. Yeah. It's unreal. I mean, I remember when I was in elementary school vividly. I mean, I had one of my old buddies come in town this past week and reminiscing, and it seemed like yesterday. And arming them with the tool of having something that they want to do and then laying it out, you know, that's a big step, you know, because I mean, what's the old cliche about people spend countless hours dreaming about what they'd buy if they won the lottery, but yet they never go buy a lottery ticket.
There you go. You know? Yeah.
And I think it's huge. I think it's huge that, and I think it's, you talk about fourth graders, I think it's, they're right around the age where yes. they kind of understand that, about grown-ups and professions and stuff that goes on. And I mean, everybody's got a dream, you know, everybody's got a dream and just trying to prompt, spark, however you want to say it, kids into pursuing theirs. So I think it'll be a great deal. And I'm really looking forward to reading some of these essays.
Yeah, it'd be pretty cool. All right, let's go back to the phones. Good job by you, Josh. Thanks. John in Plant City is up next with Josh Freeman. Go ahead, John.
Hey, what's up, Josh? I was fortunate enough to have both you and Vincent on my fantasy team last week.
That's nice. A nice connection. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Hey, Josh, one quick question, man. At the end of the game, I saw you guys in the victory formation. I saw you like in a shallow shotgun victory formation. Is that something you guys practice with Coach Ciano, or is it part of like, you know, is that something he's putting in to prevent other teams from coming after you on the victory formation? Or what's the deal with that?
Yeah, I think so. You know, all right. First of all, yeah, it's something we practice. You know, we're not just going to go out there it kind of eliminates any sort of confusion, hairiness. Because you get up to the line and a lot of times a defensive lineman will yell, shift, set, different things. And, I mean, it wasn't so much at the end of that game. But if you have a tight game and a defense and it's you got like a you kneel it and the game's over and a defensive player, they shift, they yell, and maybe the center moves, jumps, and then realizes at the last second, oh man, that wasn't the quarterback. Then you got a fumbled snap and things could go wrong. And then you got the factor of guys trying to anticipate the count, you know, and jumping forward, doing whatever they can at the end of the game, trying to get the ball back because they're trying to do whatever they can to win. And it just eliminates any gray area. You know, it's just a simple snap count. The center snaps it. I'd like to think I have pretty good hands. So you catch it, get down, and end the game.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
I have you and Drew this week, and Drew's coming off his bye, but I'm going to put you in there this week, man. So I got faith in you.
If you get a start over a Drew Brees, man, you've arrived, Josh Freeman. I'm telling you, that's pretty darn good. But, you know, certainly defensive linemen don't pull those kind of stunts in this league, do they? Nah. Yeah. Calling out signals and stuff?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they do. But you know what, though, Josh? 28-point victories don't come very often in this league either. You know, I mean, when you think about it, these games normally come down to one or two plays, and it's within a touchdown. I mean, the bigger percentage of the league, you don't get blowouts in this league. It's fun to participate in. It takes a load off, doesn't it? I mean, you don't normally get a laugher. Nobody does in this league. Unless you're the New England Patriots.
it's really, games like that are hard to come by,
yep.
You know, and it takes a collective team effort. And it takes plays like Rondé Barber's interception return. Mm-hmm. It takes plays like Mike's explosive plays. It takes plays like some of the plays Vincent was making. Connor Barth hitting field goals. You know, Mark Barron had an interception. The defense did a tremendous job of shutting down that vaunted running game. You know, and you talk about Jamal Charles. What he got held to, what, 40 yards?
Yeah, the whole team got 40 yards of rushing, yeah.
And it's like Jamal's a friend of mine, and you know, it's I'm like, sorry, buddy. Sorry. You know, it's
You but, played against them, didn't you?
Yeah, in college.
Yeah.
Those guys, I mean, they're good guys, they got a good team, but you know, we came out and we played our brand of football, you know, we played Buccaneers football.
Yeah, we're not feeling sorry for him, by the way. No, not at all.
Oh,
no.
Did I say that?
No, you didn't. Not at all. Let's go to Calvin, who is up next. Good afternoon, Calvin.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
What's up, bud?
Josh, how you doing?
Hey, Calvin.
All right, I got a quick question. After watching, the Denver and San Diego game, when you watch a Peyton Manning, I was wondering, during the bye week, do you ever watch other quarterbacks and watch their feet in the pocket? Because everybody's talking about they want you to run. I don't want you to run. But I like how a Peyton Manning or a Tom Brady maneuvers in the pocket, like how they can go through all their progressions. And it seems like how long does it take to get comfortable where you can look downfield, but you feel that rush where you ain't really got to take off a run, but you sense it and you can just maybe step up to buy Vincent that extra second and still deliver the ball. Because everybody keeps talking about they want you to run. I don't want you to run. Like you say, I want you to keep your eyes downfield. But how long does it take you to get comfortable in the new system where it allows you to just react opposed to trying to, you know, still get a grasp of everything?
I think I am pretty comfortable, you know. I do take the time to study other quarterbacks, especially guys like Peyton, you know, Tom Brady, Drew Brees is another guy. And, you know, it's interesting because all those guys have unique styles as far as moving the pocket, Eli included, you know, Watch a bunch of those guys. And it's interesting because we were watching the cut up over the bye week of good and bad like pocket movements, you know, from our season. And it's I think that as far as getting comfortable in the pocket, I feel great in the pocket. You know, I feel extremely comfortable. Like this past week, number of opportunities, got to move up, step up, move around, and it's kind of. It's something that the more you play, the more opportunities you have to see different situations, different looks, the more comfortable you get. For instance, with Donald Penn, you know, me and Donald, we have a great feel for each other as far as dropping back, and he knows the timing of my drops, where I'm setting up to throw, and where I'm going to step up to when I get to the end of my drop. So he just runs guys right by me. And, you know, it's something that you're constantly trying to improve, you know. I'm not perfect by any stretch, but I'm trying to constantly improve. I do watch Peyton. I do watch Tom Brady. They happen to be playing, actually, during our bye week, and that was that was a good game to watch. But
well, Monday night's game was unbelievable. I don't know if you got a chance to watch that comeback, but that was surreal. Down 24-0 and coming back and winning that game.
That's, you know, I'm one of those guys that turned it off after the first
half. Did you really?
I did. Well, not because I didn't expect it to be a good game. I was just kind of tired. I had friends in town, you know, and it's just wanted to spend time relaxing, you know. So No, but it was from what I hear from everybody else, obviously I missed out. It was like unreal.
Yeah, and you know what? It turned around. I mean, the start of the game was really bad with the miscues in the kicking game, but you know, it took a defensive play to turn that game around, and then, you know, it was a total team effort again. Everybody, you know, the way ESPN kisses Peyton Manning's ass, basically. I mean, everything was Peyton Manning, and he was 13 out of 14 in the second half. But the defense, that whole unit, had to do something to turn those games around. It was a kick. It was returns in the game. There was defensive scores. There was all kinds of things. It takes, just like Rondé's interception, they add and turn games around on a dime in this league.
No doubt. You can't even imagine the electricity on our sideline, seeing Rondé run down the field.
Ooh.
You know, it's unreal. You know, a guy that's a leader like that, and
yep.
And I mean, it just, like you said, it shifts the momentum of the game, and oh my goodness,
the best one that they ever ran down the sideline is his greatest moment when they beat the Eagles. Well, Donovan McNabb's interception, and the rest is history. It led to a Super Bowl victory. Josh, great job tonight, and great job last week. Let's do it against the Saints next week, and hopefully we'll get you in studio next week.
Hey, for sure, Steve.
All right, bud.
Miss you, man.
Thank you very much. Well, I appreciate it. Good job. Thanks.
Hey, thanks.
All right. That is Josh Freeman, and that was the Buccaneer Radio Network. He visits us each and every Thursday. All right. We're out of here. Have a great night, everybody. See you.